Well, would you take God's word this morning and let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to look at one verse to begin with, and then we will be going to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 16. But to start with, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. Notice what the word of God says here, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We are living in a time when we hear much about death and people are afraid of dying. People really are. They are afraid to die. And death is an unpleasant and yet necessary topic to talk about. Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces of sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Not to repair the good I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No room to repent, no turning back, 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong, 5 minutes after I die. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? You see, we need to consider this question, and we're going to consider it from a scriptural viewpoint this morning, and we notice in verse number 27 that it makes a powerful declaration where he says that it is appointed. There have been times in our life when we have had missed appointments, where we have made appointments and we forgot about them, even having written those down, and we'll miss an appointment here or there. But this is one appointment that every individual is going to keep, that it is appointed unto men once to die. That the Bible teaches us that we are all going to die. You can't escape death. Think about this for a moment. There are couple of times when people tell us that we look good. One, when we're born. You know, even if you might think the baby doesn't look very good, people still will say, "My, that's a great looking baby. They look so good." Then there is another time when people will say that we look good. That's when we're laying in the casket. "My, doesn't he look good? And my, doesn't she look good?" Now, I get what people mean by that, but truth of the matter is they look dead, right? I mean, they are dead, and they're not coming up out of that casket to greet us and say hello. No, they're dead. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 2 that there is a time to be born and a time to die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Maybe you heard about the preacher who woke up one day to read his obituary in the newspaper. Somehow the newspaper had gotten him confused with another preacher who had died. So the preacher thought he had better quickly get word to his congregation that all was well, that he was very much alive. So he phoned the chairman of the deacons and asked if he had seen the morning paper. The deacon said that he had. The preacher asked, "Well, did you see that it is reported that I died?" And the chairman of deacons said, "Yes, I did." Then there was a long pause, and the deacon asked, "By the way, preacher, where are you calling from?" Where are you calling from? Now think about that. You see, we are all going to die. Even if someone gets us confused in the newspaper, we are all going to die at some point. Now here's the question to ask. Why is this? Why do we die? Why is it that someday I'm going to draw my last breath here upon this earth? Why is it that somewhere along the line, you will as well draw your last breath upon this earth? Well, what we have to do is we got to go back to the book of Genesis, and in Genesis, we find where God created man. It was a beautiful thing how God created man and woman, but we find in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 16 where God had placed Adam in the garden. And he gave him pretty much free reign of the garden. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So God said the penalty and the wages of your sin will be that you will die. And so the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And we find in Romans 5 and verse number 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Now, I know there was just a few weeks ago, the reports were coming from us to us saying that there's going to be over 2 million people that die from this virus. And then they lowered the numbers and said it's going to be like more like 100,000. And they've lowered the numbers again and said it's probably going to be around 60,000 people that are going to die from this virus. Reality is this: none of us know what that number is going to be, but all of us know this number, that we are all going to die. If not from the virus, somewhere, somehow, there is an appointment that we must all keep. The soul that sins, it shall die. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, the penalty of sin is death. But I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 9 again, that he says that there is a penetrating discovery. And that is in verse number 27, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The judgment. So this speaks of a penetrating discovery. And if you have your Bibles there in Luke chapter number 16, I want to show you an account of the Lord Jesus. And it is not a parable. If it is a parable, it's the only parable in the Bible where God actually used names. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe it's an actual event that happened between two men. And we find in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19, it says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So notice, we have two men. Jesus says there is a rich man, and he has all that he wants. He has a nice banquet table. He has fine linen. I mean, he has it all. But then there is this poor man who is laid at the gate of this rich man. And he's not in the palace. He is not enjoying the banquet feast. He's not enjoying any of that. And yet, so here we have this great contrast between the rich and the poor. And we find that the dogs would come and lick the sores of this poor beggar. And we find in the context, the Bible says, though, in verse number 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." So here are these two men. They have two different lifestyles, but they also have something in common, that they both died. Because you see, you can have all the money in the world, and the reality is you're still going to die. And you can be the poorest of the poor in this world, and still one day your heart will stop. But we find in verse number 23 that it speaks of the fact that there will be a continuation. Notice what it says. "That when the rich man died and was buried in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments." So there will be a continuation for each and every one of us after we die. We're going to spend our eternity either in heaven or in hell. Death does not end it all for us. Some people want to teach this. Some people espouse that kind of thinking that when we die, we just cease to exist. From dust we're created, dust we return. And that part is true, but we're also made of soul and spirit. And one day when we draw our last breath, we will spend our eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or hell. And we find that this teaches us that this man had a continuation. He died, yes, but when he was buried, the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So death is not an extinction. You don't just cease to exist. But we find also in this context that there will be a consciousness. There will be a consciousness. After you are saved, or after you die, there will be a consciousness. Again, either in heaven when the presence of the Lord, or in hell separated from God. Either way, you're going to have a consciousness. Now notice what Jesus teaches. In verse number 23, he says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now note verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So this man with his consciousness was experiencing a sensual misery. By that I mean he realized it's hot down here. He realized that he had just great thirst. He says, if you would just put your finger in water, now think about that, and just give me a little drop that would cool my tongue. He says, I am tormented in this flame. I've had people through the years, not many, but I've had a few people throughout my years of being a Christian who would say something like this. They'll scoff at the idea of hell. And so what if I die and go to hell? It's going to be one big party and all my friends will be there. Sadly, your friends may be there, but I'll guarantee you it will not be one big party. As this man, he says, I am tormented in this flame. And here we see that he was able to have his senses about him, and he says, have mercy on me. But then notice there is the emotional misery that he experienced. Look at verse 25 now. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Underscore in verse number 25 the word remember. There are a lot of things I could tell you about hell, but I think one of the greatest tragedies of hell is that you will have your memory. You will be able to remember. And here in this context, Abraham said, son, remember. You remember how that you had this rich and famous lifestyle and how you treated that poor man. You remember that. Memory can be a good thing, but it can also be a very terrible thing. There was a man that had told another man, for $100, I will teach you how to remember things. To which the other man said, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll teach me how to forget. May I say that in hell you will have your memory. You will remember that loved one who prayed for you, who pleaded with you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You will remember possibly that coworker who just tried to tell you about Jesus and you just put it off. You will remember that preacher who was telling you how to be saved, and you said, not today, not now, maybe down the road, but not right now. You will remember those contacts, if you would, in which God gave you an opportunity to believe. Let me draw your attention to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter number 7, as Jesus here again is teaching in this particular context. And he says in Matthew 7, verse number 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day." Now pause there. The Bible says, according to the book of Revelation, that there are two judgments. There will be the great white throne judgment, and then there is the Bema seat judgment. Those that are at the great white throne judgment are all those who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The Bema seat is for those who knew Christ, and they stand at that judgment seat, and their works, if you would, are taken through fire to see if they will remain. And so there are those two particular judgments. Now here, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day." Now think about then that great white throne judgment. And people are standing before the Lord, and the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the book of life will be open, and if your name is not found written there, then you are cast into a Christless hell. Now listen carefully. Listen to what the rest of what Jesus said. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" In other words, they are saying, "We were religious. If the doors were open, we were there. We kind of studied our Bibles. We prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Lord, we were religious." Now notice the response from Jesus. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Depart from me. As we go back to Luke 16, we see where the rich man was told, "Remember, remember." Now he has the consciousness of his memory. And think about how sad this will be for that rich man to hear, if you would, "I never knew you, I never knew you, I never knew you, I never knew you." And through all of eternity, religious people, there are a lot of religious people in the world today. They claim a denomination, they claim a certain church that they go to, and there's reasons for that. But there's not a church, including this church, that can get anybody to heaven. It's only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And here we see that this is what this rich man missed. He had, yes, the riches of this world, but he had no relationship with Jesus, and he died and went to hell and experienced not only sensual misery, it's hot down here, I'm tormented in this flame, but he also experienced emotional misery. But Jesus taught also that this man experienced eternal misery. Because in verse number 26, Jesus says, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In other words, there is no, in hell, there is no praying someone out of hell. There is no getting baptized and getting someone out of hell. Once you are in hell, there you are forever. I don't wish this for anyone, nor does God. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But there, when one dies without Christ, their eternity is sealed. You're not getting out of hell after so many years. There, one is for eternity. What a heavy thought. But Jesus said, there's a great gulf fixed, so that you can't come this way. You're not coming here. I gave you room to repent. I gave you room to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said, not for me, tomorrow, later on. I remember years ago dealing with a man in my second pastorate. So this was 30 plus years ago. And I developed a good working relationship with him. His wife came to my church that I pastored at that time. She was a faithful, godly woman. And so she said, "Pastor, would you come over and meet my husband? He won't come to church, but would you come and meet him?" I did, and that began our relationship. And I could talk to this man about the Lord Jesus, or about baseball. He loved the Detroit Tigers. We could talk about fishing. We did go fishing once. I took him to doctor appointments and so forth to help his wife out. But there was one subject I could not bring up. I could not. I tried. I said to him, I said, "Sir, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" And he said, and I won't use the exact word, I'll just substitute. He says, "I don't fill my mind with that junk." My heart broke. I pleaded with him and tried to get him to hear, listen. I then came and down here and took this church 28 years ago this upcoming month. I thought when I moved away that I would never see him again. After his wife died, he moved down here with his daughter. I said, "Great, here's another opportunity. Maybe this will be the time." Went over to where his daughter lived, and we just struck up our conversation just like we had when he was up north. And I said to him, "Can I tell you about Jesus? I don't fill my mind with that junk." And he died without Christ. One of the hardest funerals I ever had to do. His daughters know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They knew that their father died without Christ. And what breaks my heart is that that man went to hell over the pleadings of his dear wife. He went to hell over the pleadings of his daughters. He went to hell over the pleadings of this preacher. He died and went to hell. Now, as harsh and as difficult as that may seem, and unloving of God as sometimes God is charged, may I say, God was loving to that man. God gave him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I don't fill my mind with that junk." And he died without Jesus. The eternal misery. Then there's the spiritual misery. We find in verse 27, the Bible says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Here is what is so sad, is that as well, that this man was saying, "Now that I'm here for all of eternity, would you please send Lazarus to go knock at the door of my brothers and tell them that not to come here. Don't come here. Don't come here. And if I could open up hell," which I can't, "but I think if we could open up hell, we would hear the pleadings of the damned saying to us as Christians, don't come here. Go tell them not to come here. Go knock at their door. Plead with them one more time. Share another gospel tract. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. It's a terrible place." And this man realized that I'm here now for all of eternity. There was a young man who was getting ready to go out for a night on the town, whose heartbroken mother had been praying for him. And she gave him a track that would tell you how that you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And he said, "Mother, don't give me a track. Somebody at work gave me a track today. Where can I go where somebody won't give me one of these?" And a broken-hearted mother said, "Son, in hell, nobody will give you one." The spiritual misery It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now stay tuned in and listen. Let me try to give you some good news. Because that's what God does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there is before you then a purposeful decision that you must make. You see, you have this time now to get prepared, if you would, for death and for eternity. How can you be prepared? Through the gift of salvation that God offers to us. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is a free gift. Now, how do you receive this gift? Well, one, you need to admit something that I had to admit. I had to admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I had to say, yes, I am lost. I am a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. And then after you admit that, then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not might be, not hope to be, but shall be saved. So you believe. You believe what? You believe that Jesus died and shed his blood on that cross. You believe that Jesus Christ not only died, but that he rose again. And that is important to believe. And so you admit that you're a sinner. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you confess him as Lord, because that verse says, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing him as Lord. And as you do this, then you cry out, according to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen today, listen carefully. 5 minutes after you die, you're going to spend your eternity either in heaven or in hell. I do not wish for you hell. Nobody in their right mind would say, I want to die and go to hell. Especially after you know what the Bible says about it. But listen, God doesn't want you to go to hell. You say, how do you know that? Because he says in 2 Peter that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now here's what I know, and I know God knows this much better than I, but not all are going to believe. Some are going to be deceived by their religion. They're going to be deceived by, well, I was baptized when I was a baby, or this or that. And they put their hope and trust in other kinds of things and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God today stands, if you would, before you and says, come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. In fact, someone has said this, until you are prepared to die, you're not ready to live. No man is truly ready for life until he is no longer afraid to die. Now, please understand something. I do not have a death wish, but I am not afraid to die. I am not afraid. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know how I'm going to go out in this life, but I know this, that I'm not afraid to die. To be sure, I want to continue to live. I want to continue to do what I'm doing here this morning. I want to continue to tell others of Jesus. But there will come a time when I will go through that valley of the shadow of death, when I will draw my last breath, but I am not afraid to die. Why? Because over 50 years ago, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave to me, as he says, abundant life, eternal life. And from that day until now, I know if I drop dead right here, right now in front of you, my wife and some of these folks that came to minister to us in song today, they might shed a tear or two, I hope. But anyway, but no, there'll be tears of sorrow, yes, but not as others who have no hope. They know that they will see me again. because I have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So my friend today, do not be, you're not really ready to die until you're ready to live. And until you are prepared to die, you're not ready to live. Today, won't you trust Christ? I tell my church family often, they can repeat it after me almost. The greatest decision you will ever make in life is the decision to trust Jesus. That's the greatest knowledge in all the world. You can know a lot about life, but if you don't know the Prince of Life, you've missed it all. Today, He stands ready to save you. 5 minutes after you die, where will you be? Heaven, I trust. There's so much I could say about that. On the flip side of this, I could tell you about the glories and the wonders of heaven. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. By the way, there'll be no viruses in heaven. There'll be none of that. Heaven will be such a place of immense beauty. But the greatest thing about heaven is this. You'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. The saddest thing about hell, you will be forever separated from the Lord. Today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. Ask Him to come into your life today and save you. Christian friend, for us, let us heed, if you would, this great passionate plea from the man in hell. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell. This week, tell a co-worker of Jesus if you're working. This week, tell a relative that doesn't know Jesus. Tell them. Tell somebody this week of Jesus. Because there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you gave him in love, that whosoever would call upon him shall be saved. You've told us very clearly the penalty of sin is death, and we're all going to die. We don't know how, we don't know when, but it is going to come to pass. But while we are drawing breath, help us to make preparations for our eternity. For those under the sound of my voice this morning that do not know Jesus, may they in just a moment pray and ask the Lord to save them. Those under the sound of my voice that do know Jesus as Savior, may we realize that while we're going to be with you for all of eternity because of a decision that we have made in our life to trust Christ, help us to go this week and tell someone of Jesus. There's hope in Jesus' name. And so, Father, work in hearts. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, right where you are, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you pray and ask Him to save you? I will lead you in a prayer. But from a heart of sincerity, a heart that acknowledges, yes, I'm lost, I'm not ready to die, and yet you want to receive Christ as your Savior today, then would you right now just pray and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I acknowledged I have sinned against you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, if you just prayed that prayer today, by faith, as I did over 50 years ago, then I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God saved you. That if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Now listen, if you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, I want you to go to calvaryofgaines.com, hit that digital connection button, fill that out and let us know that you trusted Christ as your Savior today. And we will send you some material to help you and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the greatest knowledge in all the world to know Him as Savior. But that's just the beginning. We want to help you grow in that relationship. So please go to calvaryofgaines.com, hit the digital connection card, and we would love to help you. Father, we thank you again for loving us, and help us today, for those of us that are saved, to rejoice in so great salvation that you have provided for us. For those that yet need Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to come to believe on the Lord Jesus. For those that just trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to rejoice in this great decision. Help them to reach out to us so that we can help them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I trust that you'll have a great afternoon and be back with us this evening at 6 o'clock.